Good morning and welcome to the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. This morning we're delighted to have Russ Manning, production manager of East Tennessee Public Television, as our guest. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Frank, and thank you for having us.
Sure, we're happy to have you because digital television is upon us, the transition a mere 51 days away.
That's right, 51 days away.
A lot of us are wondering, what does that mean and why? And we appreciate you guys from East Tennessee Public Television kind of, you know, taking the forefront. We saw you at the Mayor's First Day Festival back at the beginning of the school year, and you had a booth set up there to explain. That seems like so long ago now.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, we did that. It was for us, it was a little bit of a necessity, but the digital television transition was mandated by federal law. And
yeah, why? What's the big rush? What's
well,
the deal?
Well, basically, they want to free up some of the broadcast spectrum for a number of reasons. Because one thing, they're getting very crowded with cell communications and all that. So, and they're also going to auction off some of that spectrum space for advanced things like high band or
Broadband internet.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
And so they want to free all that up. And the digital spectrum offers a little bit more. You can get more down the digital pipeline. So they did that and required all full power television broadcast stations to go digital.
All right. So the amount of space that the current old school VHF
analog
and UHF channels take up, is that a lot more space than the digital spectrum is going to take up later?
Yes, yes. And right now, all the stations are required to broadcast analog and digital right now up
okay.
until February 17th.
Except you guys.
Yeah, except us on our Channel 15. Our Channel 15, back in June, we had a major problem with the analog transmitter.
It broke. Yeah.
Basically, there's two big tubes, like the old television tubes that you used to see, and they're very expensive. And to replace those, they were 18 years old. They were due for replacement, really, and we were trying to, you know, just nurse them along.
Ride them out until February 17th, 2009.
You got it. And then when they went down, we were going to have to replace them. That was anywhere from, to replace both of them, $150,000, $200,000.
That would require one extra special pledge drive.
That would require a big pledge drive.
Yeah.
And plus, for our viewers, we didn't think that would be a good steward of their money.
You're spending 200 grand for just less than a year?
Yes, to basically throw it away in February.
Right. So, all right. So what was the reaction? So when your analog, your old fashioned Channel 15 transmitter that we could get on an old fashioned portable TV, regular TV, rabbit ears, when that went off in June, what kind of reaction did you get from viewers who all of a sudden could not watch you on regular old school analog TV anymore?
Well, there was a big reaction. Luckily, some of our cable subscribers, we'd already give them our digital feed.
Okay, so if you had Charter, Nology, Comcast, you didn't miss out on the programming because...
Not all of those, but most of them.
Okay.
Because it had not all been switched over. They have to have digital converter boxes, too,
okay,
to pick us up. But at first, we had a lot of phone calls, and we quickly established a DTV Now hotline for our station for people to take those calls. And
is that still operational?
Yes, it is. The phone number is 595-0239, and you can call and leave a message, and we'll get right back to you with answers to your questions about that. But we had a lot of calls. We think in East Tennessee, there's probably close to 15% of the people that are still maybe a little more on antenna, using an antenna to get their signal. And if you're using an antenna and you haven't converted to digital, then when our transmitter went off, you did not get a signal from us anymore.
And that's how you know. And in fact, there's lately the local commercial stations have been running tests as well to show that, I guess, help you figure out if you are ready or not for the digital transition. So how does that work? When you see, by the way, we're talking with Russ Manning, the production manager at East Tennessee Public Television, about the digital TV switch coming up in February. So last week, the week before, when Channel 6, 8, 10 all ran these big tests around 6:30 in the evening, right around the nightly news time. What should you have seen and what did that mean?
Okay, well, that was a coordinated effort from all the full power broadcasters here in Knoxville, including us. And what that was for, we went to a minute of snow if on the analog channels. So basically what
so they didn't turn off the analog machine.
No,
they just programmed something different.
We programmed something different in it and threw a patch in right at that time on the analog side. So on the analog side, you saw something that said you are not ready for digital.
Yeah.
Now that might be on antenna or you talked to me earlier.
Well, this is the thing. One of the reasons I called you desperate to say you've got to come in this week because I was at home watching this test on the on a cable system. And I, being the, you know, little bit of the techno nerd that I am, flipped around from channel to channel to see how I was prepared. And on Channel 8 seemed fine. Channel 10 seemed fine on the cable system that I have. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw them. If you're seeing me now, Alan Williams, if you're seeing me now, you know, everything's fine.
Exactly.
If you're only hearing my voice, then you've got problems.
You're in trouble.
That sort of thing. And but on Channel 6 on the cable system that I have, I got the snow and I got the words on the screen that says, you are not ready for the digital transition. And I'm like, wait a minute. I thought that if you have the cable or the satellite, you're done. You don't have to do anything else.
Well, that's not always the case. The cable providers have to switch to digital also and use the digital receivers, however they get the signal from the different broadcasters. So the best.
So I'm still getting. Okay. So even though you're sending out a digital signal,
right,
the cable company is receiving a digital signal. They're converting it and sending it to my old TV in an analog form because that's all my TV can handle.
Well, actually, they're probably receiving an analog signal still.
That cable company
is receiving the analog signal that's still on.
Which is why they got the fail message.
Is why they did that. Mm-hmm. So you'll probably have to contact them and see when they're going to be ready to switch to digital.
Because the other channels they got okay. Same cable system, they got okay for, you know, that's what it confused me.
Right.
8 and 10 came in fine. It was just 6 they messed up.
Some stations have gone ahead and provided some of the cable operators with digital receivers so that they can get the digital signal quicker on to the viewers.
Either that or my cable company has to fill out a form from their government. And
probably. I don't think they'll give them one, but yeah.
Oh. All right, and let's get into that now.
Okay,
so let's suppose that you also were watching that message, and you got the fail message on your screen at home. And either if it's your cable company situation, obviously they're supposed to get that figured out. You may want to make a call to your cable provider and say, hey, test failed, just so you know. But chances are they probably already know.
I think they know.
Chances are they probably already know. All right. But for those of us who don't have cable, let's talk. That's the biggest
That's who's affected.
Group of people you're trying
exactly
to reach
right.
with this message.
Uh-huh. People that receive your broadcast signal from an antenna. And the best thing to do, of course, is get a digital converter box, an analog to digital converter box. Most people have heard of them now. And you can just go out and buy one. But the government has a coupon program that every household is eligible for 2 coupons, and they're $40 coupons. You have to apply for those coupons, and you have to have a street address to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can get your mail at a P.O. box, but you have to provide a street address, a physical address for that.
So to prevent someone from buying up a bunch of them and reselling them. Okay.
That's correct.
All right.
And the coupons work at most retailers that you can go to. Most of them, you know, like the major retailers in the area that carry the converter boxes. And again, they're good for $40 each. You can only use one per converter box and you get 2 per household. And once you apply for one, it probably takes 3 to 6 weeks to get the coupon. So we're encouraging people, please do it now because digital broadcasts are going on right now.
Mm. All right. Is it worth it for me, as someone who has been a cable and satellite subscriber, to go ahead and get a converter box anyway? Because, I'll tell you my situation later. I've got pretty much every possible way that television can come into my house, it comes into my house. But I'm wondering, you know, the analog TVs that I have been hooked up to cable. They remain hooked up to cable. Should I get the box anyway? And then what do I hook them up to after that?
Well, if you've got cable, the converter box won't do you any good. It doesn't work with cable. It only works over the air.
I just thought I was thinking as a backup for the day that I get fed up and cut off the cable.
Well, that's a good idea unless you want to replace TV sets. It's a good idea to have one possibly. Or if you have, a lot of people have TV in their homes that are cable subscribers, but maybe they have a TV in the garage, the basement, or somewhere that is not hooked up.
Mm.
And in that case, you need to go ahead and get a digital converter box for those TVs that aren't on cable.
All right. So, but I also then would need some rabbit ears or something to get the signal from the air to the converter box.
That's correct. And that's one thing that we found with our viewers through our hotline that do get the digital converter boxes, that there's probably a little bit more involved with the antennas. Rabbit ears work good. I have rabbit ears at home, and they work pretty good. But outdoor antennas are a whole lot better. And digital television is a much clearer signal, but you either get it or you don't. Now, a lot of people, you know, if you had rabbit ears, they put up with seeing some ghosting images or the snow on TV.
Yeah, bad reception, you know, but you can still get the basic gist of
it. Right. And a lot
of people still, who was the killer on CSI? You know,
exactly.
They spell it out for you.
You can hear it, you know.
Yeah.
But now that doesn't happen in digital. So if you've got a marginal signal with your current antenna, it may not work with the converter box.
We're talking with Russ Manning, production manager for East Tennessee Public Television. He's very knowledgeable on the digital television conversion. You can check out details on their website, etptv.org, easttennesseepublictelevision.org. And there's lots of great links there. We'll repeat all that for you at the end. That's one thing that I've been concerned about, and I don't want to get too, you know, techno-geeky again on this, but because there's a drop-off, a digital drop-off in that signal, there might be people. Let's say your transmitter is on Sharps Ridge.
Okay.
So the people who live in Knoxville city limits probably got fine reception of your analog transmission and probably get fine reception of your digital transmission as well. But is there a point, a geographical point, where you would have that person who got the fuzzy reception on analog and now gets nothing on digital?
There probably is with their current antenna. In most cases, you can improve that by a new updated antenna. You don't have to, but get a new antenna. Your old antenna should work if you've got a good signal. But there have been instances where people do need to update. And the wiring's old. There's a lot of variables there. There is a wonderful resource for antennas that I've got on my computer all the time when I'm taking phone calls. And it's antennaweb.org. And it's also off of our website. But you can put in your street address down to street level, and it uses some pretty powerful computing to figure out the lay of the land to see what antenna you need to get what stations are available. And it's a valuable resource and has a lot of links on there, especially if you're using an antenna. But they don't recommend any kind of anything but outdoor antennas at all because of...
Rooftop.
And, you know, rabbit ears work great, and they work at my house. I don't get every digital station available in Knoxville, and I'm 7 miles from Sharps Ridge, by the way, the crow flies.
Yeah.
But in East Tennessee, we have a lot of hills.
Okay, right.
And those signals don't always drop directly. It comes over a hill, and the contour of the hill, it'll eventually get below the hill, but not directly. If you're at the bottom of a hill and you're not in line of sight, you might have a little bit of a problem.
Is that a reason why you should, to that point, give up and get satellite or cable? Or?
Well, at that point, I've had some instances
where
that...
I put a really tall antenna on the roof of the house.
Yeah, really tall antenna, maybe. Or I've even gone to or talked to someone who lives like just over in the UT area in an old building built in the early 1960s that's concrete reinforced. And it's basically, you know, got a lot of metal inside of it. And they had a real marginal signal with rabbit ears. Nothing on digital. It was impossible. And it's an apartment.
Yeah.
So you can't put an antenna up, you know.
Oh.
That gentleman ended up getting the basic cable package.
Mm-hmm.
And we did everything we could to try to help him. But that's some of those instances that's going to happen because of a marginal signal in the first place.
All right. So another situation I have at my house is I got a fancy high-def TV. And I signed up for satellite because I wanted lots of high-def channels.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't offer a roof antenna at that time because they said, well, we're going to be putting the local channels on satellite soon enough. And of course, then a year later, they finally do. So during that year, I was using rabbit ears to get high def television. So I was the guy basically that we're talking about. You know,
right.
I've got the fancy digital TV.
Okay.
And I'm using rabbit ears right there on my, you know, on the hutch inside the living room to pick up your channel, which comes in great, and the other local channels, some better than others. But, like, I think it's channel 20. I can barely get that at all because they're not in the same neighborhood in terms of their broadcasting antenna, right?
The direction, that's right. Yeah, they're not quite in the same line. You know, it depends where you live. I mean, if you shoot all the way down Sharps Ridge, then you're going to line up with all the antennas pretty much.
Yeah.
But if you're off a little bit, then, you know, they're all spaced along Sharps Ridge in different areas. So, and that antenna web site that I told you about also tells you what direction to point your antenna for all these different stations.
Okay. So, all right.
But you've got to know which direction antenna is supposed to point. You know?
Yeah, well, we were doing fine until the Olympics came on, and then my wife and I decided, that's it. We're calling the cable. Yeah. We're calling the satellite company to have them turn it on the locals because we were trying to record so much stuff, and we'd get caught up, we'd pause a show. And then, you know, find out half an hour later that, oh, my gosh, someone walked in front of the antenna and we missed the end of Michael Phelps' race.
Well, and then the good thing
that was with the rabbit ears. You couldn't walk past the thing without breaking up the signal.
Oh, yeah, it breaks up, I see. Yeah, and the good thing about digital television also is that there's multicasting with digital television. So now where we used to broadcast one stream of video, one channel, basically, we have two or three right now.
And that's channel 15-1, 15-2, 15-3.
Yes.
On my, at least that's what comes
that's
up
correct.
On my
and that's what
listings.
That's a, I'm glad you brought that up, because digital channels are do have a decimal point or a dash after them, 15-1, 15-2, or 15-3.
And so does all of that take up less space than your old analog signal?
Yes.
Still in the, and granted, that's in terms of the physics we're talking here, radio waves and television waves.
Exactly.
We
exactly.
can't see, so we don't realize how much, how big they are, how much space they take up. But you're saying your three channels now take up less space than your old one channel?
That's correct.
Wow.
And we're broadcasting one high definition channel. And one standard or two standard definition channels.
Why not all three high def?
The spectrum is not big enough for that. In fact, when we first started, the equipment that does that wouldn't allow us really to do but just one good quality high definition and one standard def. But now the new equipment allows us to do more than one standard def with the high definition.
Okay, so you'll always have one high def and then.
Yes.
So I thought standard def was going away. I guess that, I mean, I was hoping that standard definition was going away.
Well, the analog's going away. Standard definition will still be here for a while, and that allows us to do multicasting. I know once you look at high definition, you don't want to see anything else because it looks so good.
I won't watch it. I refuse.
That's me.
I refuse. There's a filter on my channel guide where it says HD channels only, and I push that every time. That's the only time. I don't even, if your channel's not in high def, I don't even know you exist anymore because I don't look at you.
We get spoiled quickly.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like going from the old albums, the vinyl albums to the CD.
Exactly.
But TV's so far behind that, you know, going to digital. So we're finally doing it, and it's been a bit of a burden on the broadcasters. It's a lot of money. You know, it costs a lot of money to build new transmitters, in some cases new towers, new antennas.
Which would explain why when I travel to a larger city, they'll all be advertising, our local news is in high definition, you do not hear those announcements here in Knoxville.
That's exactly right, because high definition equipment is very, very expensive. And it's going to take a lot, you know, some transitional time.
All right. And here's another technical mystery now that I kind of think I know the answer to, but I'm not positive. So I don't want to say something stupid. Why is it that these channels that can't afford their own high def equipment can still show us high def programming from the networks?
Basically, that is what we call pass through programming. So it comes from the network on a satellite and then the stations with their equipment just pass that through as high definition.
So the local channels have high def transmitters.
Correct.
In order to send me the network signal in high def.
Correct.
It's just they don't have the high def cameras and the high def recorders and all that other stuff that they have to buy locally.
The local equipment. That's exactly right.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. So if, like you guys had high def cameras, we could watch pledge drives in high definition.
That's correct.
And who
that's
really,
correct.
That would really, that's, we need that.
Yeah. Yes, we do. We do. You know, so you can see every hair on everybody's head and face. So but you know, that will come. That is going to come, I think. But it's going to take, especially with today's economy, it's going to take a little bit longer.
Well,
but,
these tough economic times would mean that we have to be more prudent with our expenses. And I imagine the TV channels aren't going to exactly go rushing out to buy expensive high-def cameras just yet.
That's correct. Especially, you know, if you've bought cameras. I mean, a lot of this equipment, we've been at East Tennessee Public Television. We are pros at keeping our stuff for a long time and keeping it running. Our production switcher that we switch our live pledge drives with and such is a late 1960s model.
Wow.
And it was actually, if you'll...
So that's another piece of equipment that would have to be replaced. Every piece of equipment down the line, from the camera
correct.
To the transmitter, everything has to be replaced to go high def.
That's correct.
Okay.
Everything. So that's why it's so expensive.
I gotcha.
Yeah, you can do a few things at a time and then down convert it. Mm-hmm. To standard def until you get the rest of the things, but that's the major expense. It all has to be done at once, especially if you're still analog. If your signal path is analog within the station, everything has to be switched to digital and high def at the same time.
We're talking with Russ Manning, production manager of East Tennessee Public Television, obviously a very knowledgeable man about the digital conversion and about television in general. And while I'm here, I may as well go ahead and vent my other gripes. I love to watch shows on all the channels, especially when I see the ones that are on the 10 o'clock shows that go up to the local news. It drives me crazy when you're right there at the end of the show and you want to see, you know, it's the conclusion of whatever murder mystery you're watching or whatever, you know, comedy, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's the final scene and they go and you're watching it in beautiful high definition and the local engineer goes ahead and switches it off to low def because they're about to give coming up tonight on the news, you know.
That's correct. And that's because they don't have the high definition equipment.
But they can't wait 30 more seconds?
Yeah. Yeah. I understand too, and I don't know every station how that works, but
it drives me crazy.
A lot of stations are going automated also, and there might not be somebody just sitting right there flipping the switch.
Well,
you know,
I'll tell you, I may have to do this again. In the past, I have called channels. Yeah. I have called and griped. I said, patch me through that control room. And I have aired my gripes to them. So that was me, just so you know.
Yeah, well, good for you. But
why just switch so soon? Like, oh, sorry. We figured nobody was watching. That's what their answer was. They thought nobody was watching the digital feed. I said, I'm watching it.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, maybe this was a year ago. Maybe I was at that time the only one watching it, but I doubt it.
Well, and I'm glad that you did call, not just to them, but to us, because we do like hearing from our viewers. We don't, you know, a lot of times you kind of get channeled in to the other side of television. So mm-hmm. it's nice to hear from our viewers know what they're thinking.
Give that phone number again for the crazy cranks like me to call.
Okay, it's 595-0239. That's our digital TV hotline.
Okay.
There's a lot of things that, you know, when we've taken calls on the hotline, trying to help people out with and getting their boxes and getting the antenna working and everything. But we've also had calls back when they do get it working going, mm-hmm. this signal is fantastic. And actually, the over-air signal is less compressed than a signal coming over satellite or cable.
I know that was granted, it's not that much of a difference, but right. there is a slight difference, and it is, you know, barely noticeable. But I was willing to make that sacrifice because my rabbit ears were unreliable.
Right.
You know, and if I do a lot of programming on the DVR, you know, I'd come home and to turn on CSI or whatever and find that I just got a bunch of garble.
Right. And that's another a point. You know, if you have a VCR or a DVD recorder or a DVR and it doesn't have a digital tuner in it, after February the 17th, whatever signal, if you're using an antenna to do that, then that's not going to work either. So you'll need a digital converter box for that or a new DVR that has a digital tuner in it.
A lot of people, you think, are just using this as an excuse to buy new TVs, or the economy is going to slow people down there too.
You don't have to buy a new TV because you can get the box. But, you know, if you're in the market for a new TV, that's a decision you have to make personally. But the new TVs are just, you know, fantastic. And you have to admit that's one of our, you know, home entertainment
big
things for everyone. So, again, it's a personal decision. But a lot of people aren't ready to make that jump. You know, a lot of people can't afford that yet. So the digital converter box program is a good bet mm-hmm. for them. For me, it was a good excuse to get a new TV.
and the shape is actually different too. And that's something else you'll notice is that's one of the ways you notice the difference between high def and standard def is the shape of the picture. So when I'm there watching at 11 o'clock and I see my full rectangular picture get all of a sudden squished down to a square, roughly,
right.
you know, then you think, I'm missing
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, you do sometimes. And that's a little bit confusing to people because you can have that wide picture that's not high definition.
That's my other gripe.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me.
Well, the problem is that, you know, a lot of the programming hasn't been made in high definition yet. And we've got a lot of old shows that aren't in high definition, so that we have to do something to still get them on the air. So even on our high definition channel, everything might not be high definition, but we up convert it, we call that.
Okay. So I have mindset so that when I'm watching a regular standard definition program on the high def show, I have what they call the pillars on either side. So I see the same shape as an old TV. I see that it's, I'll say square, but it's not exactly square. Was it 4x3?
4x3.
Mm-hmm. All right. The 4x3 box in the middle of the screen, and I've got blank space on the left and the right, and I just deal with it. And that's
correct.
How I watch the local news and stuff like that.
Correct.
Because my other gripe is when you go to a place, sports bar, for example, any place where they have these fancy, you'll see the rectangular TVs,
oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
and you can totally tell, and I've read about people on the internet who've returned their digital televisions because they're convinced they didn't work because the picture looks terrible when you hook it up wrong and you're watching the standard definition channel stretched out or squished in, somehow
correct.
Manipulated to fit the, what is it, 16 by, I don't know, remember.
16 by 9.
The dimensions of the big screen, yeah.
yeah uh-huh.
Those dimensions, it looks stretched, it looks squashed. I mean,
yeah.
Russ, maybe you can
yeah.
describe it better in fancy TV terms than I can.
Well, basically, it just pulls the picture out and squishes people down
on the
screen. It is terrible
looking.
You know
what does this? TBS does this when they run reruns of some of the old sitcoms all the time.
They sure do.
And they advertise it as, you know, yes, dear, now in high def. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, TBS. We know.
Well, you know, you were correct. I read where some of the major retailers, the biggest, the most returned items are the new TV sets because people don't understand that and don't understand, you know, it's down to the, you know, read your owner's manual.
Well, I stumbled across a blog from someone here in East Tennessee who was writing about the TV that they bought their mother or mother-in-law, I don't know. Right. And that was the issue. She hated it.
Yeah.
Because it looked terrible, looked worse than her old TV, because if you don't put high-def programming into a high-def TV, it's going to come out looking bad.
Well, it don't always high-def. Right. Yeah, a lot of times...
You can set it the way I did with the
right.
pillars.
On mine, it has... Most of the newer TVs in the past couple of years have a digital tuner and an analog tuner.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of people will be looking at analog signals on these new LCD screens, and they really do look awful. Mm-hmm. But if you get a true digital signal, be it high def or standard def, and it's digital, it will look pretty good. Now, it might not fill the screen. It might be 4x3.
But at least it'll be cleaner looking.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I've been to different places. A lot of people go, oh, I've got this new TV. I want it to fill the screen. They put up, believe it or not, you know, they like that. They want like the short, fat people
oh,
and
terrible.
Fill the screen. I'm a video production person.
Okay.
So I like to see things how they were produced.
Exactly.
I mean, it was meant to be produced that way. I want to see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I leave mine in the mode where it just brings in way it was. You know, it was
so similar to what I've got set up.
Exactly.
With
if it's standard def digital, I see the pillars. If it's high def, it fills the screen, and of course, it's much sharper.
Yeah.
Much sharper.
Well, football is a perfect example of something that looks spectacular in high definition. I don't know how they can afford to do. I guess football makes a lot of money.
Yes.
With so many cameras all over the stadium, all giving the most pristine, spectacular picture you've ever seen.
Oh yes, and those production trucks that travel around and do that high definition, that's usually it's two to three tractor trailers that are all hooked up together, and probably an investment between of those major shows $10 and $15 million. Per unit.
They've even got those down now to the lower, how would I say this? Let's say when the Vols are on CBS, you expect it to be in high def.
Yes.
But, you know, when they were on CSS or Raycom or one of those channels, mm-hmm. I think even those are starting to be in high def.
Raycom started doing some high definition this year. CSS hasn't made the jump in the regional market yet, but Raycom did do that this year. Of course, Raycom, I think this is their last year because ESPN came in and bought the rights out for SEC.
Oh, all right. So yeah. ESPN has got a lot of high def programming.
They have a lot of high def programming, and they use pretty much the top of the line trucks, anywhere from maybe one unit to three units. It depends on the if it's a national game or regional game.
There's a great video on the internet that I came across. It's from Spike Feuerstein's show, where it's this little old lady, and she's trying to understand.
That's great.
You've seen this.
Yes,
the voiceovers
have.
Come on, giving all the basic facts that we just gave. You
that's
know,
right.
Go to this website, and she's just there. Hey, HTTP, woo, 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 dot, what? You know, she's period. She has no idea, you know,
correct.
How to make the transition. Let's give it the 1 minute summarized wrap up. What do you do to make the switch come February, come 51 days from now to digital television?
Well, the most important thing is make the switch now, because if you wait until February 17th, February 18th, you're just going to see snow. So if you want to use the government coupon program, you need to log on now. And the quickest way to do that is either go to etptv.org. There's a place right there, mm-hmm. or you can go to the government site, and that site is...
Because, yeah, you basically point them to that site.
Yeah, we point them to that
right.
site. So you can go right there. It's right on the homepage there,
mm-hmm.
and fill everything out, and it will actually give you a confirmation number that you have been accepted for the coupon program. Get the coupon. Go.
Do
get
you print out the coupon, or do you have to wait for it in the mail?
You have to wait for it in the mail.
Okay.
It comes, it's like a little credit card.
Oh,
and
like a gift card.
Yeah, like it's a gift card from the government. So how mm-hmm. many times are you going to get that? So go get that.
Just ask the big three auto companies and then the banks.
There you go. Yeah, that's well, the Joe Public. There you go.
Right, okay.
And then you go get your converter box. And of course, this is only if you're using an antenna to get your signal.
And the government site, just for in case you need it, is dtv2009.gov.
.gov.
That's, so you know it's legit.
That's correct.
I imagine there probably are people setting up ripoff sites out there.
Probably. I haven't heard too much about that with people yet. But, you know, and there's another thing that you can mail in. There's a phone number you can call, and it's all off of our site. Mm-hmm. But if you want, a lot of people say, well, I don't have access to a computer that we've talked to. And I encourage them, because it is quicker to use the computer. And, you know, stop by your public library. The librarians are more than helpful to help you.
To use their computers?
To use their computer.
But there probably isn't a way for the little lady that we talked about in that joke commercial.
Exactly.
For her to still get the coupon.
Exactly.
And you can, by mail or by phone?
By mail. If you'll call our hotline number, we'll send you an application for the coupon.
And the hotline number again?
The hotline number is 595-0239.
Okay, 595-0239. That's probably the best way to do it at this point.
That's correct, if you want to fill out that. And we have people that do want to fill out the application, send it in by mail, and we're happy to send that to them.
The old school way.
That's right.
Russ Manning, production manager of East Tennessee Public Television. A lot of information, and I appreciate your taking the time to be with us this morning.
Thanks again for having me.
This is the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. We'll talk to you again next Sunday.